This is the first of two blogs on atypical thyroid issues in diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and long COVID. If you're taking thyroid and aren't getting the boost you expect, this blog might be for you. It's also for people who've never had their thyroid thoroughly checked out. In a recent YouTube talk, Jared Younger stated that he regularly finds people with undiagnosed thyroid disease, diabetes, etc., in his ME/CFS studies. All you need to understand why the thyroid is of interest to people with these diseases is to read the following sentence from a 2023 German study. Autoantibodies to selenoprotein P in chronic fatigue syndrome suggest selenium transport impairment and acquired resistance to thyroid hormone. It reads, thyroid hormone is a central regulator of temperature, energy metabolism, and psychic well-being. When the authors said central, they meant really central, as in fundamental. It turns out that the production of thyroid hormone, thyroxine T4, by the thyroid gland, is just the beginning of the process. T4 then has to be broken down into its usable form, T3. Triiodothyronine. And that's where things get interesting. Most of that breakdown process does not occur in the thyroid. It occurs in our cells, particularly cells in the liver, brain, muscles, thyroid gland, and pituitary gland. Virtually every cell in our body contains thyroid enzymes, isoenzymes, that convert T4 into T3. This is because of how fundamental T3 is to cellular functioning. Once in the cell, T3 regulates the metabolic rate of nearly every cell in the body. It does this by increasing the gene expression of Na plus K plus ATPase enzyme, resulting in increased oxygen consumption, energy production, and body temperature. T3 affects muscle control and brain, heart, and digestive functioning. In short, it's one of the master regulators of the body. To think that it all starts in a little butterfly-shaped gland in the front of our neck. When you look at the symptoms associated with low thyroid, hypothyroid, fatigue, increased sensitivity to cold, muscle and joint pain, muscle weakness, irregular menstrual periods, anxiety, you can see why many doctors quickly turn to the thyroid when fatigued, sleep-deprived patients show up at their door. Given the exercise intolerance in ME/CFS, it's intriguing that thyroid problems, either hypo or hyperthyroidism, can also cause exercise intolerance. Reduced workloads and heart rates at the anaerobic threshold have been found. It's no wonder that thyroid problems are one of the first options doctors turn to when fatigued, exercise intolerant ME/CFS, FM, and long COVID patients show up. The crucial conversation. The inactive form of the thyroid hormone T4 is converted to the active form T3 by three selenium-based enzymes, DiO1, DiO2, and DiO3. DiO1 and DiO convert T4 to active T3. DiO3 converts T4 to inactive reverse T3, and T3 to T2. Because these isoenzymes or enzymes rely on selenium to function properly, a selenium deficiency can result in thyroid problems and affect iodine excretion. The Hashimoto disease connection. The paper's authors first worked on a problem found in some Hashimoto's syndrome patients. Because Hashimoto's disease involves the destruction of the thyroid gland, it would seem to be amenable to a simple fix. Simply supplement with the main end product of the thyroid gland, T4. The T4 supplementation doesn't always work, however. some Hashimoto's patients remain fatigued and impaired. Hashimoto's disease, it should be noted, is not the only disease in which thyroid supplementation can be a bust. We'll see in the next blog, it's not uncommon for people on thyroid medication to feel not up to par. Since thyroid supplementation brought the T4 levels up to normal, it appeared that something was interfering with the conversion of T4 to T3. Selenium-based enzymes take a beating. Looking for an answer, Schomburg's German group dug into the selenium-based isoenzymes that break T4 down. Because the thyroid isoenzymes are only found within the cells and can't be readily studied, they looked for signs of selenium issues elsewhere and landed on testing another selenium-based enzyme called glutathione peroxidase, or GP3. Low levels of glutathione peroxidase in the poor T4 responders with Hashimoto's suggested selenium was not getting into their glutathione peroxidase enzymes either. The autoantibody connection. The next step was to see if autoantibodies that might be inhibiting selenium entry to the cells were present, and they were. Increased levels of autoantibodies to the selenium transporter were found. With that, they had indirect validation of their hypothesis. The Hashimoto's patients who weren't responding to the standard thyroid hormone, because their cells weren't converting T4 to T3 as they should. The T4-T3 conversion was blocked by selenium autoantibodies that were preventing selenium from entering the cells. That left the selenium-based isoenzymes needed to convert T4 to T3 in the cell high and dry. The ME-CFS study. With that, they turned to chronic fatigue syndrome and tested selenium levels, selenium autoantibodies, and glutathione peroxidase in a lot of patients and healthy controls. They found greatly increased levels of selenop A antibody in a subset of ME-CFS patients and hardly any healthy controls. 9.6 to 15.6 in ME-CFS patients versus 0.9 to 2.0 of healthy controls, depending on what the cutoff for what a positive result was. They reported that the prevalence of selenop autoantibody in CFS was about 10 times elevated in comparison to controls and exceeded that reported in thyroid or cancer patients. They dug deeper. Because selenium plays a crucial role in the glutathione peroxidase enzyme, selenium levels should be correlated with glutathione peroxidase levels. For example, higher selenium levels should be correlated with higher glutathione peroxidase levels. The fact that they were not in ME-CFS suggested that the autoantibodies were preventing the selenium from being used properly elsewhere in the body. That's an interesting finding, given that glutathione is the major antioxidant in the body, and high levels of oxidative stress have repeatedly been found. Because glutathione peroxidase is the main antioxidant in the body, it was not surprising to see elevated levels of nasty free radicals, reactive oxidative stress species called isoprostanes in the urine. That finding jived with several studies in the mid to late 2000s from UK researchers, which found increased levels of isoprostanes in ME-CFS. Plus, the high SE autoantibody group stood out in a group of ME-CFS patients and healthy controls who had undergone extensive thyroid testing. The high SE autoantibody group exhibited particularly low DIOD isoenzyme activity, low free T3 levels, low total T3 to total T4, and low free T3 to free T4 ratios. Those findings suggested T4 was not being properly converted to the usable form of the thyroid hormone, T3, in this group. Going further, they also found low urinary iodine levels in this group. Because iodine is released from T4 when it is converted to T3, the low urinary iodine levels suggested, again, that T4 was not being broken down properly. The authors proposed that ME/CFS clinical trials involving selenium and T3 take place. The Schoenberg interview. I asked the senior author of the study, Lutz Schoenberg, how he got involved in this study, what safe levels of selenium might be, and what's next for him and his crew. Schoenberg wrote, "Once I had the honor to get into personal contact with some CFS patients and learn about the devastating nature of the disease, myself and my full research team became highly motivated to dedicate a lot of our efforts towards this topic. As it also nicely falls into our primary research issue of nutrition, autoimmunity, and thyroid hormone research." He said he was convinced that the selenium autoantibody thyroid interaction is present in 10 to 20% of ME/CFS patients. "I am convinced that the link between impaired SE transport and ME/CFS is real and operative in a subset of patients, between 10 and 20%. We are currently testing the hypothesis that it may even be a general mechanism, also of relevance for tumor, post-cancer, fatigue, or long COVID." Concerning selenium supplementation, Schoenberg said this: "Selenium, or SE, supplementation is safe within the limits known for many intervention studies. For example, up to 300 micrograms extra per day. There is a slight risk of side effects, such as type 2 diabetes, for overweight males residing in selenium-rich areas like the USA. But there is no indications for any side effects for women or subjects residing in selenium-poor areas like Europe. T3 is a more complicated subject. With respect to T3, he said, "as with all thyroid hormone treatments, it is a very personal and individualized issue. One does need to increase the dosage slowly, titrating it, under monitoring TSH levels, and most importantly, monitoring the patient's well-being. Thyroid hormones in excess carry the risk of tachycardia and arrhythmia. That is why usually the prohormone T4 and not the active hormone T3 is prescribed and supplemented. But recent research has indicated that many, especially female Hashimoto's patients, do profit from a T3 to T4 combination. Like the normal secretion pattern from the thyroid gland and like found in dried thyroid extracts, at a ration of around 1/10 of T3 compared to T4. We assume that in particular, those hypothyroid patients with impaired expressions of selenium-dependent deiodinases would respond favorably to the T3-T4 combinations, as their activation of T4 to T3 in the peripheral tissues is compromised. Schoenberg then spelled out how low T3 problems could impair muscle activity and produce exercise intolerance. If you imagine muscle as a target tissue, impaired T4 to T3 conversion would mean hypothyroidism in muscle, with poor activation of the mitochondria and consequently low ATP levels, explaining fatigue and post-exertional malaise. The diagnostic problem is that we cannot determine T3 status in muscle, only in the circulation, which of course is not always a reliable mirror of what is going on in the target tissues. Yet, while I am convinced that the patients with impaired selenium transport will profit from such selenium and T3 treatment, other patients with intact selenium status and transport may not, and may even experience cardiovascular side effects from hyperthyroidism. This is why I strongly recommend to test these experimental treatment strategies only in collaboration with the treating physician, and ideally after an analysis of selenium and selenoprotein concentrations and an assessment of potential autoimmunity to selenop. Unfortunately, these analyses are not yet available in the USA, but I am very happy that we have succeeded in convincing a diagnostic provider to offer these analyses in Germany, and hopefully soon also elsewhere. Next up, the atypical thyroid issues in ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, part 2, low T3 syndrome.